say and fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify why Jesus Christ the righteous.
Oh, glory to God. This is our testimony. Glory to God. We have moved from death to life. Super beautiful song there by Elevation Worship titled My Testimony. And with that, we welcome you to Friday's edition of the Daily Faith Boost. Friday's edition of your everyday energizer. Every day, you know, coffee. Oh, glory to Jesus Christ. Just so welcome. And we are having an exceptional time this morning. Yay! The revelation just gets better. It gets richer. It gets deeper. It gets clearer. And our lives are never the same. So how's it been for you? Drop a comment if you can. Send an email if you don't mind doing one. Let's know how it's been. Praise God. And praise God. All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, the 15th verse, all right, and the 19th verse. So putting the two verses together, Moses says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing, life and good, all right, from the 15th verse, and then blessing and evil, curse and evil. So we see here, all right, that there are two forces. There's a force of life and the force of death. There's the force of life. There's the force of death. There's the force of life. And please understand this. God carries that force. God has that force. And then we'll see much more than him just carrying and have it. God is it. All right. God's atmosphere is filled with life. All right. God's atmosphere. And then satanic environments are filled with death. Adam opened this door in Romans chapter 5, and death came in. Death began to plague men. Death began to reign. Death was not God's will, is not God's will. Death is referred to as an enemy. And death is a last enemy that will be destroyed. But you now wonder, okay, at what point? It means that lease. I talked to you about the lease that Adam has, right? So the lease will end. All right. So all the satanic operations end with it. So that's the final hey. So now you guys are, you know, completely. But right now, power has been stripped. That is destruction. All right. So you send soldiers into a forest to go kidnap some other guys that are heavily armed. And then you don't, you know, give the soldiers adequate supply. You just killed them. They don't have anything. The enemy finishes them up. So the church has all the power. What we have from the devil is the power of deception, men's willingness also to walk with satanic forces. Men going to the devil to say, hey, we would want your power. Give us your power. We need you to help us recover. Men doing that, or men just willingly giving up their minds. You know, the Bible talks about the futility of the mind. So giving up their minds and allowing the devil find his will through such. Oh, but you and I, hallelujah. We are in Christ Jesus. You and I are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so death reigned. Oh, no, death reigned. All right. You've heard a bit of that. It seems like this topic just won itself an extra week. All right, what do you think about that? Let me know. All right, but I think this topic deserves, now this topic will be taught like every let me show you something in the book of Acts. All right. So wasn't where, you know, I was about to read from, but let me quickly get there. So in Acts chapter 5, all right, so the apostles, right, well, you know, had been in prison. So let me pick it from the 17th verse. And the high priest rose up, Acts 5, 17. The high priest rose up, all right, and all those that were with him, with which is the sect that is called the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. Please listen to this. Verse 19 now. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, I'm reading verse 20, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. All right? Stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Let me show you the easy to read version. Go, stand in the temple area, tell the people everything about this new life. You get that? Tell the people about this new life. NIV also uses new life. So when you say tell them about this life, it's not, oh, this life, you know, so terrible life, oh, this life. No, not that life. There is a new life. All right? There's a plant life, there's the animal life, and there's a human life. And then there's a God kind of life. So this life that Jesus brings is not man's life. In John 10:10, he was talking to people that were alive, people standing in front of him. All right. And he said, I have come that you may have life. They were already with the human life because there are different Greek words, okay, for the word life in the Bible. One of it is bios, human life, natural human life. So people are already alive. But Jesus came with Zoe. Hallelujah. It's a God kind of life, God's life, the life of the eternal one. That's the gift. That's what he brought to us. So easy to read again says, go stand in the temple area, tell the people everything about this new life. So this really is the message. This is what we could teach and should teach again and again and again and again. So Romans 5 from 12 quickly, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. It now says, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin could not be imputed when there was no law. 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of Adam's sin. So death was reigning. Death was like king. Death was ruling. Death was having dominion. Death could slay whoever, kill whoever, make barren whoever. But from the beginning, God had given men a taste of life. I mentioned to us, hey, how come? All right. The animals with Noah in the ark were peaceful and they had this wonderful cohabitation. There was a blessing and the life of God at work. You see, Abraham, all right, his body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But then there was a blessing from the life of God. Suddenly there was rejuvenation, resuscitation. Their bodies came alive. So we've seen men experience and enjoy this. So Moses brought a stopper. Jesus didn't bring a stopper. He disarmed death. He rendered it toothless. So death can try to bark, but it can't bite. Do you understand this now? Death can bark, it can't bite. Someone says, no, but we see. So you keep looking around, not at the word. It's like when we look at 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds we've been healed. Or look at Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and carried away our sicknesses. So, but you look around and say, but aren't people falling sick and dying of sickness? So if you look around, it makes it unreal. But when you look to the word, what happened? Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. And then that faith will arise within you, strong, built, heavy. And then you deal with the sickness and it's within your life and within the lives of certain people around you. But you might not be able to, you know, reach out to the whole world and say, hey, I hate. No. Jesus took that away. It now takes an individual faith and understanding. So that's why the gospel must be preached. Same way also, Jesus has paid the price for all humanity. He's ransomed us. But people die and go to hell. Why? But you are born again. And then you are expected to reach out to people and preach to them. But you can't just, you know, stay in your room and like, God, everybody gets born again now. Amen, amen. And then you wake up, come out of the house and everybody is born again. That requires individual faith again. So in the same way, my sins about death is biting here and there, but it's toothless. And that's why you come to God's word and get your opinion from God's word. You come to God's word and get your thinking from God's word. You come to God's word, you know, and get your mindset. Romans 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you get your own mind renewed. You get your own mindset. You get your mindset. I'm trying to separate the word mindset now, all right? You get your mindset. You get your mind programmed. You get it set in the line, you know, that God intends. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So death is toothless. It can bite. You could try to bark. Remember what Peter said? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If he could devour anybody at any time, he wouldn't be seeking. Walks about like a roaring lion, not a roaring lion. And then the next verse, Peter now says, whom you should resist steadfast in faith. So you mean this lion or something like a lion can be resisted? It shows that you have the greater power. You who can resist, you have the power. If you just say, well, he's talking about a roaring lion, run for your life. No, he didn't say run. He said resist. He didn't say run. He said resist. So the 17th verse of Romans 5 now says, but if by one man's offense, death reigned through that one, much more. And please notice the word much more means of a superior quality. All right? Higher level. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Those who receive abundance of grace, that's us guys, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So death has reigned as king, and in some places still does reign. It now says, we who have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, we will reign not in heaven. Please note the word there. We will reign not in the sweet by and by. We will reign not when Jesus comes. He says we'll reign in life. Now the word life here really is actually the word zoe. All right? The Greek word there is zoe, not just human life or being alive. So it means the moment you got born again, you were moved from darkness into the realm of life and you were made a king. So your kingly role in that realm of life should affect your living right here on earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got to get this. I believe you do. Because this is the reset. This is the reset. Have you ever asked yourself, why on earth did Jesus come? Why did he come? In Romans chapter 6, all right, the 23rd verse of Romans 6, Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll take that again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So why did Jesus come? Why did he come? John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That answers the question. Jesus came to give man eternal life, but it's called the gift of God in Romans 6, 23. So God gave you a gift. Oh, but I thought Jesus was a gift. Oh, yes, he is. But Jesus is a gift carrying a great gift. All right? He came to give us. So he came as a gift. Within him is that gift of eternal life. That's why Romans 3:23 ends by saying, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. So for the next few minutes, we just establish why he came. Because really, like I said, we read from Acts 5 and 20, the message is the message of eternal life. Go, stand ye in the temple, the angel said to them, and speak to the people the words of this life. Speak to the people the words of eternal life. Speak to the people. So it's not just one person's, message, someone just got hooked on it. It actually should be what the church preaches. The devil came and sin reigned. And that's why we have what we have. Oh, but Jesus hit the reset button. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He hit the reset button. So you've looked at Romans right now, 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave as a gift his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have the gift in the gift, eternal life. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to give you life. Jesus came to give you life. Jesus came to give you life. But it's interesting that while we hear that, right, and know that from John 3:16, you got to understand also the 36th verse of the book of John, chapter 3. It says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Did you get that? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's John 3:36. In John 5, Jesus met the woman. John 4, he met the woman at the well. All right. And he said to her, give me a drink. All right. And she said, hey, you shouldn't be talking to me because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. By verse 10 of John 4, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he will give you living water. He used the word gift again. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you eternal life. Living water, which is eternal life. So verse 14, he says, 13, he says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst. But the water that I will give will be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. That's the gift he came to give. That's the gift he came to give. In John 5, John chapter 5 and the 24th verse, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. See the use of the word. It's actually the strong theme of the Gospel of John. The strong theme, the use of the word life. Life. Remember John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right? In him, verse 4, was life, and that life was the light of man, and the light shines in darkness, verse 5, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. The word life, life. This introduction of the word Zoe is a strong theme of the Gospel of John, of the writing of the beloved Apostle John. Strong theme, and it should be the strong theme in the life of every child of God, because it's what Jesus came to give. You were not just saved. You know, when we say, okay, why did Jesus come? He came to save us from our sins. True. Oh, true. He came to redeem us. True. But he didn't just come to save us and leave us hanging. All right. Moses' assignment was to take them out of Egypt into the promised land, not Egypt to the wilderness. So Jesus didn't just come to take us out. He took us out, brought us in. Did you get that? He took us out, brought us in. So he didn't just come to save you. He didn't just come to redeem you. He didn't just come to rescue you. Colossians says it this way. He took you out of the kingdom of darkness. Some versions use the word delivered. Us, rescued us, some of us, from the kingdom, the domain and the authority of darkness, and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he didn't bring us out to leave us hanging. So that's why I'll read John 5:24 again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has present possession, everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life, has passed from death to life, has passed from death to life. If we connect this to, Deuteronomy 30, it means you have passed from death to life. You have passed from the curse to the blessing. You have passed from evil to good. I'll take that again. You have passed from death to life. You have passed from the curse into the blessing. You have passed. Please, when they say pass, it means passed. All right. Someone's running right after you. And then there's a gate. And the person knows if he can't get to you before the gate, he won't get to you at all. So he increases his pace, tries really like to catch up with you. But you know this person's coming. And then you go quickly through the gate. And the person stops and says, oh, she's passed. Oh, he has passed. I can't get to her anymore. I can't get to him anymore. This is your case, therefore, child of God. You have passed. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus died, Bible says, and the angels carried him, all right, to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. The rich man, lifting up his head in hell, in the place of torment, sees Father Abraham and Lazarus beside him. And he says to Father Abraham, please beckon on Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger into water and reach out to me to cool my tongue. And Abraham said to him, there's a chasm. Some other versions say, there's a great gulf between us. So Lazarus cannot come from here over there. There's a great gulf. There's a great gulf. One is in one region and the other is in another region. Now, that was when Abraham's bosom was in a compartment in the down below. Jesus, all right, in his 3-day sojourn, emptied that place because the righteous people were there. And Bible said he resurrected with the saints. You see all that in Matthew, all right? He came up with them. Hallelujah. So that place is empty, no longer there. Nobody could ascend to heaven until Jesus paved the way. So he took them all up, took them all away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So please understand that there's a bigger gulf now, a great gulf. So how come the enemy is able to find expression? Because the door is open by ignorance. The door is open and then he will still, please get this, we are still in the world. All right, we're not left now. So Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So things will come to test, to tempt, to attack, to confront. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amplified says, I have deprived it of power to harm you. Once again, the enemy is a toothless dog. The toothless lion. Toothless. Toothless. Oh, glory to God. So the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. God gave us a gift in the person of Jesus. And then Jesus now comes. Hallelujah. Remember John 7? Jesus speaks in John 7 and says in the, you know, Bible says in the last day, the great day of the feast, 37 of John 7, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus talks about this life again. He talks about it, that life, that eternal life, that eternal life, that eternal life. Let's look at some interesting places now in John 6. Quite interesting. Oh, like super, like very, very, very interesting. We'll pick it from the 31st verse, all right, of John 6. They said to him, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread, all right, from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Why did Jesus come? He came down from heaven to give life to the world. So reading still 33, all right, says the bread of God, all right, is he who came down from heaven to give life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life. See, you understand that? Meaning when you receive Jesus, you receive life. When you receive Jesus, you receive life. The 40th verse. I mean, so beautiful a verse. Jesus said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. So he declares his mission again. Everyone who sees the Son and receives him may have everlasting life. We skip now to the 47th verse. Verse 47 of John 6. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Verse 48 again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. This is a bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. All right, no, I just skipped now. All right, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Of course, it got the mix, thinking it was speaking about his physical body and his physical blood. And verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak, they are spirit and life. So I'm referring to you, not about this physical body. All right. What I'm speaking is spiritual, and it can only be spiritually understood. And it's in understanding the spiritual, you receive life. Oh, but why did Jesus come? Isn't it interesting to see all this? But it's amazing. See, John now says, I told you, all right, that this word life is a strong theme of the Gospel of John. Strong theme, super, super strong theme. And John says it again. Remember I said it opens John from chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. In him was life. In him was life. And this life is the light of man. And the light will shine in darkness. So he introduces it in John. Now let's go to John 20 and the 30th verse. And truly, Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples, and which are not written in the book. But 31 now, John 20, 31. But these are written that you may believe. So John is saying, this is why I wrote. These are written that you may believe in the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John declares, this is why I wrote. I wrote so that you may believe, because in believing you will have life. John understood this. John understood this. Because in 1 John, all right, chapter 1, quickly from verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. He introduces it again in his epistle. He now says in verse 2, the life was manifested. We have seen it, bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So he calls Jesus eternal life now. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. So the fifth chapter, so John begins like he did for his gospel, introduced life in chapter 1, and then by chapter 20, he talks about life. Here again in his epistle, he introduces life in chapter 1. We get to chapter 5, and then again, he talks about life. But I'll go straight to the 13th verse. All right. Verse 13. John says here, these things I have written to you, sounding like John 21. I mean, John 20. These things I've written to you, all right, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that believing you will continue to have life in his name. I like this in the Message translation. So let me read the message for you. It says, my purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. You have eternal life, the reality, not the illusion. You have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. Child of God, what we have is not the illusion. When we watch movies and we see the superheroes, them getting healed when they get hurt, them dying and come back to life, them flying and floating, that is the illusion. But we've stared so much at the illusion, it looks real. And then we who are born again, it looks like our own life is fake. No, no, no. Message and it makes it clear. Please read it on your own. John 5 verse 30. 1 John 5 30. I'm writing this to you so that you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. The reality, not the illusion. The reality and not the illusion. All right, I believe this has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. I look forward to you joining me on Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Nigerian time, all right, 12 noon, you know, U.S. Central Time, and then Canada Central Time. But please join me. Let's talk about the influence of the Holy Ghost. This Sunday, we will be dealing also with eternal life. And please visit our website, www.larryrexonosian.com, just my name up there on Spreaker, for solid over 80 teachings that will greatly, 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 greatly bless you. Please, right, please listen to them. Over 80 messages, but you have there the gift of life. 12-part series, It will bless you greatly. Have a wonderful week. Love you and thank you for joining me as always. Bye.